and North Korea.
You know, I didn't trust North Korea then. I don't trust them now. The fact is, all that's going to work with them is constant pressure and letting them know that we're not going to back down.
King was speaking there on Fox News. This is USA Radio News.
Let's have a chat about your debit card, the card you use for the things you buy every day. What if you could get cash back every time you bought those things? Well, now you can. Introducing Discover Cashback Debit. Just open a Discover bank account and start earning 1% cash back on up to $3,000 in debit card purchases every month automatically. Plus, there are no monthly fees or minimum balances. Now you can get cash back on the way you like to pay. Open a Discover bank account and get the debit card with cash back. Go to discoverbank.com/debit. Limitations apply. Excludes money market accounts. Discover Bank member FDIC.
Coming to theaters for 3 days only. Patterns of Evidence. The Moses Controversy.
The Lord said to Moses, write this in a book.
A new documentary follows investigative filmmaker Timothy Mahoney's faith-affirming journey throughout the Middle East in search of scientific evidence that Moses wrote the first books of the Bible.
So the question is the Bible a literal story of God acting in history?
Patterns of Evidence, The Moses Controversy, in theaters March 14th, 16th, and 19th only. For tickets, go to patternsofevidence.com/Moses.
A federal appeals court says those seeking asylum in the U.S. can go to a court to appeal a rejection. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling expands constitutional protections for illegal immigrants, giving them a pathway to potentially stay in this country. Under current law, if any asylum officer and an immigration judge decide the migrant doesn't have a credible fear of persecution in their home country, they can be deported. A released leaker is back behind bars. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
Chelsea Manning back in custody after now refusing to testify before a federal grand jury. That grand jury in Northern Virginia is investigating WikiLeaks. Manning is the former Army intelligence analyst who released classified data to WikiLeaks in 2010. She was convicted of numerous crimes in 2013, but her sentence was then commuted by President Obama. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Liberty Mutual Insurance knows you're focusing on the road right now, so we'll just describe our newspaper print ad to you. It's a tiny square that's colored a newspaper shade of gray that has you thinking yellow. As the words read, Liberty Mutual customizes your insurance so you only pay for what you need. Now that's the kind of print ad that'll make you glad you still read newspapers. Go to
Hello, everybody. I'll quickly do the news, and I did the news, excuse me. This is Pat Smits, the sports guys, but let me tell you about the weather. We have a full complement of the sports guys today, which is pretty amazing, but thank God. But tonight, mostly cloudy, then patchy fog. Tomorrow should be a nice day, sunny, actually high of about 48 degrees. Lots of the snow is going to melt. But Saturday night, it's going to start to rain. Rain likely 100% into Sunday and then 60%. Bad news for the St. Patrick's Day parade in Clinton that I think starts around 3 o'clock on Sunday. One other thing I wanted to remind people that we have a future members breakfast reception. That's going to be on what I call Hangover Monday. Now, I want to know from you guys, do you know what Hangover Monday is?
Only if you're in Wisconsin, I think.
No.
I have
what is what day of the week is St. Patrick's this year?
Sunday.
So Hangover Monday is always following St. Patrick's Day when it falls on a Sunday. But in any event, our event will be at Knot and Soup. Unfortunately, they closed. And it's going to be at Beaver Brook starting at 8:30 until 9:45. And for all our members, all you need to do is bring a prospective member. And for anyone out there who's interested in the chamber, give me a call. Give the chamber a call, and you're certainly welcome. As I said, Beaver Brook. So, guys, I hope you have something important to talk about sports. Let me tell you,
Pat, it's always that we have something important to add to the show, right, Bill?
That's true.
Nobody else might think that, but you and I think that.
John, we have huge egos, and we're all, as repulsive as they might be, whatever we say is important, because at the end of the day, we are lawyers.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
If it's not important, we'll make it important. But go ahead, Bill.
Okay, but you know,
by the way, there's a breaking story that just came down. The Giants traded Olivier Vernon. And it's a continuation of a stripping of that defense, which 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, was a great defense that unfortunately in the second half collapsed against the Packers in Green Bay and lost the playoff game, and then has had two bad years in a row, but with good players in position. But they've let Landon Collins go, who's one of the top safeties in the league. Now, Olivier Vernon, who has been injured quite a bit the last year or two, had a great first year with the Giants 2 years ago, and they let him go, and they've let a bunch of different people go. So, I mean, they're just stripping down that defense, stockpiling draft choices, and I don't know, guys, I don't know if they know more than we do, but, you know, that maybe there's some big drafts coming up here. They think they can restock with young defensive players.
So, but why are they letting them go now?
Well, it's the trade deadline coming up, and apparently...
So they still have contracts.
Yeah, I think the difference... Well, the big Vernon is he's a big cap hit, so they need to create space. So they had to let some of these guys go. And for the Giants, they were starting players. But Vernon, I think, becomes a depth addition good defense.
But did he have still... I mean, they couldn't have let him go unless he...
No,
his contract is over.
A 4-year contract.
Okay.
Or 5 years.
So they didn't let him go. They traded him.
Collins, they let go for nothing, which is absurd.
Really?
I just don't know what Dave Gettleman is doing, the GM for the Giants. So they continue to mystify us in terms of what they're going to do. A lot of people think they have the 6th overall pick, and they're accumulating some other material, and they may... you know, package that to a team like Arizona, who I think has the first pick, in an effort to land their franchise quarterback. At least that's what some people think.
But will Arizona pick that quarterback?
Well, they took Josh Rosen last year, the guy with the biggest mouth and the least talent. He was the 11th pick and said, mark my words, 10 other teams will pay. And they're all laughing at me, and a horrible year. Of course, the Cardinals weren't a great team, but I don't think anybody has any interest in Rosen. I think the Cardinals realized they made a mistake. There's two big-time quarterbacks up there. One is Haskins out of Ohio State that the Giants want. I forget the other guy. But there's two big quarterbacks, and you know, it wouldn't shock anybody if Arizona says, you know what, we're just going to acknowledge we took a shot in the first round last year. Wait, he was the sixth projected first-round draft picks was let and just let him go, park company, and you know, restart with a new first-round pick.
Well, you know, that's interesting because there's also been some movement in Philadelphia. The Eagles have decided not to pay Michael Bennett what he wants, so he's going to walk. Bennett was a veteran defensive end. He already has a Super Bowl ring with Seattle. And he's going to the Patriots, they say.
That's what calls you.
Yeah.
These guys who have one or two good years left, and they think, let me go to New England and try to win a ring.
He already has one.
Yeah, but
Darrell Revis goes to New England for 1 year, so he wins that ring, and then he comes back to the Jets.
Right. But, you know, in Bennett's only year with Philly.
$20 million, and they won.
But, you know, what happened with the Eagles is they just freed up $7.2 million worth of cap space with him by not signing Nick Foles. Which I think was a mistake.
I think they're going to live to regret that.
I think they may really live to regret that, especially if Wentz
gets still
hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, let's wait and see.
Yeah,
but
exactly right.
No, who did they trade Foles to?
They just let him go. Yeah, the rumor is that the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to pick them up and
so they didn't have any more of a contract with him. It was a 1 year. That's right. That's right.
Exactly. He had a 1 year deal.
But how much would they have had to pay him if they kept him?
He wanted almost $30 million.
Oh.
And it just was too much.
Yeah.
He might get that money from Jacksonville, believe it or not.
And the interesting thing is Jacksonville cut 5 players on Friday today, saving a total of $30 million with the moves that could be used to sign free agent to be Nick Foles. So,
correct.
And that is a lot for Nick Foles when you take a look.
But you know what? Some players are in a position to demand a premium.
Exactly.
You're a good second-tier starting quarterback in the NFL. You've won a Super Bowl. You've proven that you can win in adverse conditions on the road. I mean, the Eagles lost not because Nick Foles didn't play well, but the Bears just outplayed him
right.
in Chicago. It was the rest of the team that let him down. So, I mean, to be honest with you, if you're Jacksonville and you feel you win now, he may be worth the $30 million to give you a shot to win.
Yeah, but I can see where
because
the Eagles...
had they had a good quarterback 2 years ago, they would have beaten the Patriots 2 years ago.
Right.
I think so. Jacksonville came close.
But I can see where the Eagles would say, hey, we're not going to pay our second stringer $30 million.
You can't.
Yeah, because see, if you're going to pay him $30 million... who do you have for him to throw to or to hand the ball off to?
Well, that's the point. You just can't deplete your bank that
You
much.
Can't deplete your offense. And remember, the biggest problem the Eagles had last season, I think, was their running game.
Yeah, there's no question.
And they may pick up a couple of good young guys. They may see some diamonds in the rough that nobody else appreciates. But at this point... Nick Foles is going to be gone in a few days. I am certain Foles is going to get picked up by Jacksonville or some other team. What was surprising to me is that I would have rather have kept Foles.
But at $30 million?
But forget the money. Forget the money for a moment. You're right about the money, but forget the money. I liked Foles as a quarterback.
I did too, but I can understand where the Eagles.
It's a business at the end of the day, and how are you going to make that kind of money back unless you're going to go deep into the playoffs? I mean, you can only sell so many $8 hot dogs. And the TV rights are certainly valuable and will continue to be. But at some point, you've got to put guys around them to protect them. Particularly, I mean, look at the Giants this year. Terrible offensive line. Eli Manning got bounced around more than he ever did. If you watched a number of Giants games, I watched both Giants-Eagles games, and the Eagles were all over the Giants' offensive line. Manning was running for his life or else he was getting sacked, and it took him longer to get rid of the ball. The interesting thing with the Eagles, though, is what's Wentz's real physical condition? I think Wentz came back too early from his leg injury and probably should not have played the first 8 games this year. Should have just stayed and practiced and been the backup for Foles. I think it would have been a much better situation. Plus, remember, he suffered a back injury, I think, in game 10 and had a cracked vertebra, which is not easy to recover from. I recognize he's a tough guy. He's a good quarterback. And he's probably more talented than Foles, but Foles is more experienced. The other thing I think it drove the Eagles was that Wentz is 26 and Foles is 30. And there's... 4 more years.
Yeah, I understand that, and I'm not saying that Foles should have replaced Wentz, but I mean, come on, it's hard to make that argument when you look at how old Brady is, and you know me, I don't like Brady, but he's shown that quarterbacks, if they're not hurt, can play for a longer time than we ever thought.
That's true. That's true. The interesting thing is it just gets crazier all the time. Jacksonville had Blake Bortles, who they pretty much have given up on, yet he was their third overall pick.
So, John, what do you hear happening with the Packers? We're just kind of been in a deep funk along with the weather in Green Bay.
Well, you have a team in transition. You start in front office. The coaching situation. Is the coach and the GM on the same page? You have Aaron Rodgers, one of the top 3-4 quarterbacks. Arguably the best. Bad offensive line. He and Eli suffer that same fate.
Right.
You have some aging wide receivers because they gave up on a few people. Running back is not strong. The defense is getting old.
You're right.
All of those things. I mean, It's a refrain that you hear with a lot of the Pittsburgh's in the same spot. The Giants. So many teams who you think of, they're a good team. They're year in, year out, good team. And right now, they're not. And you have to look and say, well, what are the teams doing? You have New England where they have core, very good players, and then very select free agents and bench players who add depth, play well in their system, and say what you want about, their questionable adherence to rules and so forth, but they get that they find a way to get the job done. I don't know if they're smarter than anybody else, but they probably work harder than anybody else. And a lot of these teams could take a lesson from the Patriots in that regard. And you need strong management, strong coach, and say, hey, you're here, we're paying you good money. You know, if you're here, you want to win, well, start playing hard. And it just, there's too many teams. I'm a Giants fan. I watch the Giant games. And I just saw, and I think a lot of these guys that they are jettisoning right now were guys who mailed it in on many games, and they're just not going to stand for it, even if it means another year of mediocrity. From the Giants' perspective, see, the Packers are different than the Giants. The Packers have the core to win because they have the quarterback. The Giants don't. The Giants know they're at least 2, if not 3 years away. So they're probably figuring, why keep these guys? We get value for them now, stockpile picks, draft some young players. If we can get our franchise quarterback in the first round, now maybe we're 2 years away from being contending and 3 years away from being serious contenders. So at least they have a game plan. The Packers are kind of where the Giants were 3-4 years ago, where you still had a top quarterback, but you were beginning to age around you.
But, you know, it's very interesting, and maybe I have a unique view coming from Wisconsin, because remember, what we thought was really one of the most important things was the coach, because we had, I grew up as a kid, we saw Lombardi come in and take a 1-11 team, keep the same guys, and have
turn
a winning, and absolutely turn it around. So one of the things that I haven't heard much about the new coach for Green Bay, but that to me is going to be very interesting to see if he can take some of these older players. And, you know.
But, you know, Pat, having said that, and Bill, I want to get your comment on this because you're a quasi-Jet fan. Now, we all did a double take when the Packers let McCarthy go.
I didn't.
Because, well, I still think he's one of the top coaches in the game. Clearly, he and management had problems, and he and Rodgers had problems. So there was no question that. Okay, what shocked me was that the Jets didn't snap him right up. But then again, it's the Jets, Bill.
Well, that to me, too. Dysfunctional.
Especially when McCarthy said that the only team he wanted to go with was the Jets.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He actually came out and said that, at least in everybody in Wisconsin.
So obviously, there's something there with McCarthy that maybe we don't know about, and the final analysis, it worked against him. I still think for the Jets, well, which is a veteran team going to get young because they got to restock that team. He's a great coach. He would have been a good 2 or 3 year coach to try to rebuild that team. Now what they're going to do with the current coach, I mean, nobody knows the guy.
No. You see, I wonder, and I have questions about McCarthy, why wasn't he better when he had someone like Aaron Rodgers? He had some really good players, and I don't know why they got rid of some of these guys a year or two before they should have.
Well, I was just going to say, a year
exactly.
or two early.
I think they pulled the trigger early, and what the big concern that I think Packer fans have to have is they're wasting Aaron Rodgers' best year.
Exactly. That's a significant concern.
It's interesting because there was a rumor floating around today on ESPN. I heard it this morning that the Packers might have an interest in acquiring Antonio Brown from the Steelers. Good receiver, got some personal problems. Antonio Brown
wants
a long-term contract.
Player, you know?
I don't think he's a Packer kind of guy, personally.
Well, the question always is to me, will the Packers turn him around? I mean, I think, you know, Green Bay is a different town. Green Bay is, although I think the Packers are very similar to the Steelers in many ways, I've often thought that, they should take some players who may have had problems in other areas.
That could be. You know, the Bills bowed out. They felt the guy wanted too much money, and they said, great player, but we don't think he's the right fit for us, and he wants a long-term contract and a lot more money. It wouldn't surprise me if he ended up in a place like Green Bay, although recently both the Titans, Redskins, and the Raiders were all talking about Antonio Brown. Now, the Raiders are moving to Vegas. Antonio Brown is probably going to be a major attraction if they're playing in Vegas next year, which I think they are.
They're still on schedule.
Yeah,
for 2020.
In 2 years, 2020. So not this season, but next season,
right.
I think, is the inaugural season for the Raiders in Las Vegas. So
and by the way, we're still looking to buy four tickets, season tickets.
Anybody
out there knowing someone who wants to sell four season tickets, we're in the market. I think that would be a great investment, by the way.
Well, you never know.
We could always sell them to John a few times a year since he goes out there anyway.
But, John, let's understand this deal. The Giants traded Olivier Vernon to the Browns for Kevin Zeitler. First of all, who's Kevin Zeitler?
It must have been a draft pick involved in there.
The Giants, before free agency, would see if there were any takers for Vernon, who was a good defensive end and outside linebacker, but wasn't paying up to his fat contract that they had given him. So my question is, they're shipping him to the Browns. They're getting Zeitler, who's the press says a sturdy, dependable right guard who'll probably start for
An offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
Well, that's a good move for them.
Hey, guys, let's take a break. I know that John has a something on his phone, that business thing that he has to take care of.
Absolutely.
And so we'll be back in just a couple minutes as soon as he can get off the phone. And whoever is talking to him, if you're listening to this program, make that business call quick.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Okay, we're back with the sports guys. So what else is important? I know that spring training, of course, has started, and, you know, all those folks who are down in Florida, or folks who actually, I know people who go down to Florida for a few months just to hit all of the games.
They had a lot of games down there. Some were playing the fantasy camps. It's quite an interesting endeavor for a sports enthusiast to be in Florida this time of year, because I think there's something like 20 teams that are down there.
Oh, and you know, I just, as I was talking off air, I happened to watch a few minutes the other day of the Red Sox playing Pittsburgh, and that was a nice looking stadium. You know, it looked like a very comfortable stadium. It looked like, you know, you would be able to see everything that was going on, and it was full. I mean, I was really surprised.
Well, the Grateful League games draw a lot of fans. A lot of people don't have a chance to see the games, you know, when they come north. A lot of them are in Florida, and they do. It's very, very tough ticket, especially Red Sox, Yankees, teams like that. Dodgers, I think, are down there. Minor league baseball and the camps are doing well these days, you know.
Well, I know that the people in Arizona love to go to the games, you know, that some of the teams are playing out there, and they really enjoy that. But, you know, you mentioned an $8 hot dog. Why don't all of the stadiums do what they did in Atlanta? I mean, that makes so much sense to me. They're making tons of money anyway. Do they really need to, you know, spend, I don't know, what, $8, $10 on a hot dog?
Well, you know, I never really figured out what the actual cost was to hand that hot dog to a fan, but I got to believe it's about 50 cents.
Oh, you know, yeah. So and in fact, I'm sure that they get
Actually, Pat, I stand corrected. The Pirates won that game on Wednesday, 6-1, it was played at JetBlue Park,
right,
which is Fenway South.
Right.
And there was a bunch of runs that came in late in the game.
There must have been, because when I saw it, it was like 3-1.
Right, right.
And I took a lunch break.
Yep.
But nice park. I mean, it would be...
Oh, yeah, JetBlue. I've been to the park. I was there when it opened 3 years ago. It is a replica of Fenway Park. The footprint of the outfield, the green monster, the pesky pole, the retired numbers. It is identical to Fenway. And if you think about it, it's brilliant because such an idiosyncratic park, if you're bringing a spring training team up, well, they just played 30 games in the park. And you come to your own park. It's a great idea. Plus, it's a great attraction. People want to go down and see it. They sell out all the games.
Well, it seems to me that would no longer be losing money, that they have to at least break even if they're not making money.
Oh, I'm sure they're actually making money down there.
And people, and it's like the minor league where you can take a family and, you know, doesn't cost a fortune. It's people, one of the problems with major league sports, I think, especially with baseball, is the cost of going to the games.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. The last Yankee game I went to, which was about 2 years ago in the new stadium, we spent about $250.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, between parking and food and the seats.
Oh, I think you're right on that, Bill.
Yeah, but $250 for myself and two other people.
Oh, well, I think if you got away for under 100 each, that's light compared to...
Well, and it's interesting. We were at Citizens Bank Park last year in August to see the Phillies-Red Sox.
Correct, Bill.
And
great night we had.
Great night. Good seat, right over, hanging on the ledge, right over third base, maybe a row or two back. Tickets were $41. That's a reasonable price.
That's reasonable.
Yes.
That's a very reasonable price. We had pretty good seats.
They were good seats. I liked it there. Unfortunately, the company in front of us was amusing, thanks to John.
One of our better shows. The young ladies in front of us were abusive.
Well, let's put it this way. This is a family show, and it needs to stay G-rated.
This is true.
But the end result...
Yeah, and you both worried that your wives would be listening.
Yeah, well, no, my wife didn't care.
Yeah, they were Phillies fans, and they didn't appreciate the Red Sox mastery of the game. And, of course, we all know they went on to win. And these young ladies were apparently there for other reasons. Leave that to the imagination.
Yeah, and not looking for a couple old geezers that were sitting behind them is what you're telling me.
Absolutely not. We were definitely not
even
throwback material.
No, she's talking about the two guys next to us.
Yeah, not even throwback material. But, you know, you can have a lot of fun at a Phillies game with the crowd. As long as you're willing to have a sense of humor, remember.
Which means, you know, have like a brick thrown at you.
Right. Yeah. Now, it's much better at a Phillies game if you're a Phillies fan.
Well,
it's just like an Eagles game where.
An Eagles fan, sure.
Yeah, have to be an Eagles fan.
Well, remember.
It's much better now. I have to say, it's much better now in the new stadium, at least in my experience.
Well, I got to tell you that if you're talking about Lincoln Financial. You're right. If you're talking about Citizens Bank Park, you're also right. Because Veterans Stadium, there is a vibe in that place that just made people nuts. I don't know whether it was being closed in, because remember, it was a bowl. It was a circle. And you could not see outside of it unless you were like in the nosebleed seats and looking over the wall. But I will tell you that I've been to Citizens Bank Park now maybe 10, 12 times. I've never had a bad seat, no matter where. I've sat all over the place. I've never had bad food there. The stadium food is actually pretty good. The one thing that can be a little tough there is when you go in, there's really only two ways to get into the stadium.
Yeah,
if you're
that was
a
major problem, yeah.
And I think that's a stadium design flaw, for lack of a better word.
Because yeah, but when was that stadium built?
About 12 years ago.
10,
was it
ago.
After 9/11?
Yes.
I have to tell you, I think that a lot of the stadiums, just like a lot of the courthouses, you know, they're closing doors,
they're
restricting entrances.
That's a good point.
So that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I know what it's like now to go into Lambeau as compared to what it used to be. And they're rightfully so, but they're really taking precautions.
They are. And
The other thing I noticed was, particularly in Philly, if you go to Lincoln Financial Field, even for a college football game, or you go to Citizens Bank Park, there seems to be an increased police presence.
Well, oh, there is everywhere. You know, the one thing that it seemed to me is, why is it so difficult to get out of Giant Stadium when you get out of, I mean, I won't compare it to Lambeau, it's a different situation, but Philadelphia seems to be pretty easy to get in and out.
Well, Philadelphia has 95 right there.
Right.
It's a hop, stick, skip, and a jump on the Route 95.
And the other advantage with Philly is you can leave the stadium and get on the Broad Street subway and go right back to Center City, which is a major transportation hub, or you can walk over two blocks if you live along the Delaware. You can get the streetcar, and you can take it all the way up to the
and
eastern
the
part of the
town.
Another
thing you got to remember, when you exit what's now MetLife Stadium in the Meadowlands, you're already on a Sunday afternoon in the new greater New York area. There's already a lot of traffic.
Right.
And remember also, with the Meadowlands,
but you'd think they could redesign something to make it easier. Now, what about the train?
I've taken the train to the Meadowlands for Jets games and also for Giants games. And you park your car in Secaucus, you get on the train, and the train runs you literally to the eastern side of the stadium. And there's like three tracks. The problem is that I think they can only run one or two trains at a time. So the first couple of trains are jammed. And then as you get closer and closer to game time, it seems like the railroad hasn't ever really figured out an efficient way to handle getting in and running an empty train back. And when the stadium empties out, well, it's the same problem in reverse. Whatever happened, they did not design the rail transportation well to the stadium. And I would prefer to take the train to the stadium.
Well, I think most people would.
Yeah.
I mean, if they, you know, rather than sit in, you know, traffic. The only good thing is every time, frankly, that I've been there, because as Packer fans, we stay to the absolute end.
Giant fans are leaving in the third quarter.
Yep. They, well, even before that, they would. You know, it was just amazing.
That is true. But most of those people were, you know, maybe the corporate type.
Right. Exactly.
They weren't the diehard.
No, they weren't.
We're going to stay.
So no, but remember, with most of the Giants games, you leave at the end of the third quarter. Giants are getting there.
You diehard fans will stay.
Yeah. I mean, Packer fans were I mean, we were there the one time I remember. We were sitting there. The Packers were losing. And by the end of the game, you could look around the stadium, and there were almost only Packer fans left. That was at Giants Stadium. In other words, even though the Giants were winning, you know, their fans had already left. It took us 15 minutes to get out of the station.
New York, North Jersey, Bergen County fans are a little bit different.
Well, remember also, you've got Route 3 to contend with. You've got all kinds of tough traffic right around the stadium, whereas you go to in Lambeau, you're basically in the edge of the city.
You're in the city.
You're in the okay. Well, you're actually.
But I mean, it's a city of 120,000 people.
1,000 people, right? And the one thing I noticed in Lambeau when we were there in 2004,
I think, Bill. Wow,
oh, gotta go back.
Long time. And they were just beginning to refurbish the stadium. But the one thing I noticed was it was relatively easy to park. It was easy to get in. It was easy to get out. It was easy to move around in the stadium if you wanted to go to the concessions or use the restroom. The difficulty, the only real difficulty I saw at Lambeau was those bleachers are cold.
Yes, they are. In fact, what stadium was I saw something on television, and I couldn't believe the stadium and the seats. I mean, they had all these nice seats. Is Lambeau the only stadium left
with benches.
With metal benches?
The old Foxborough Stadium, Schaefer Stadium, had metal benches. I mean, they were hot. You go to a preseason game, they were blazing hot.
Right.
And then after October 1, they're freezing cold. Right.
Well, and if there's been snow, there's still some snow because they come in with shovels and shovel them off. And, so they...
When they shovel the seats in Lambeau, where do they put the snow? Do they just push it all down?
Yeah.
Push it into the aisles and then push it down?
They do, and then I can't remember how they pick it up, but that's exactly what they do. And Wow. You'll see, a couple hundred people out there with their shovels shoveling. Yeah. And I guess what happens, I'm trying to remember if they back trucks up to get the snow off because they don't leave it down
on the field.
And of course the field itself was one of the real innovative fields back when Lombardi was, when they put all of the
drains.
They put all the heating pipes under. Uh-huh. And even now,
what do you mean the frozen tundra?
Well, because if it freezes.
It's just like a rock. I noticed it in Green Bay in the summer. Sometimes they'll dig those pipes up to do maintenance on them. In fact, they were talking about the field in Green Bay and how they would run warm water through the pipes all winter to keep the grass growing. There'd be guys
out there in
February mowing the lawn.
But they also now, part of it, it's real grass, but there's also some kind of a plastic, not the way you see in most places, but there's something else. I shouldn't call it plastic, but they have some artificial little things coming up also in the grass. I mean, it's quite a procedure. In fact, sometimes you can even see, they'll have a, documentary on Lambeau, and they'll tell you how this is all done.
Well, but I noticed that a number of the seed companies for lawn seeds are now marketing their product. You can have the same type of grass that grows in Fenway or Yankee Stadium or maybe at Green Bay. Yeah, I was very surprised to see that. It's like a regional thing.
Never think that they're going to, folks in commercial enterprise are going to miss an opportunity to make 50 cents.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean,
I have to admit that is almost comical.
It is. It is.
Your dog roam on grass similar to Fenway, that found in Fenway Park.
If I was a Yankee fan, I would probably just have an area for my dog to use.
That's Fenway turf.
But at least at Green Bay, you don't see the player, falling down and then this puff of black comes up. I mean, no, seriously.
There were a couple of fields like that where they looked like they were playing in Pompeii.
Yeah, that's right. But, Gladiators won, Lions nothing. Is that
there
the idea?
Go. That's true.
The important thing, though, is that there's an art to maintaining stadium turf, and there's also a little bit of trickery that goes on too. I can tell you that if you have a third baseman who's still a good hitter, your National League team, but he's getting a little slow in the field, you let the grass get a little bit higher. Slows the ball down, and the other thing you do is you water that part of the infield a little bit more, right around third base, almost to short, because it's easier on the knees and ankles to run in spikes on slightly spongy dirt. On the other hand, if you've got a shortstop and a third baseman who are like acrobats and ballet dancers, except that they're wearing baseball uniforms, and they have great arms, you want that field to be as hard as a rock, so you cut the grass really short, and you keep rolling it so that it becomes almost rock-like. So when a ball hits, it skips, and it comes up. So if you've got a shortstop who's really artistic and has that kind of quick reflexes, they get to the ball faster, the ball gets to them faster, and if they have a good arm, they can just make that throw to third.
Well, or if you're the Patriots, you just deflate the ball.
Well, but remember, there's all kinds of great ways to cheat. You know, that's like in hockey.
Yeah, well, let's talk about hockey. What's happening? I've got two hockey, you know, diehard hockey fans who are getting really
stuck a fork in the Devils about a week
well,
ago.
Well, really getting kind of, you know, not the usual rah-rah that I hear usually.
Well, remember.
And for good reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Devils, we stuck a fork in about, what, 3 weeks ago? We said, not going to happen.
About that, yeah.
And my Philadelphia Flyers still have a pulse, but after a 5-3 loss to Washington, where I watched the first two periods and decided, had to make a decision whether I was going to climb up to the roof of my house and jump off or just turn off the TV and go to bed. So I decided wisely to go to bed because they looked awful. Eventually they came back and it was a 5-3 game, but I have to tell you, the Flyers did not look good. We saw a lot of young defensemen making mistakes. The real highlight in the game was Ovechkin making a pass while he was laying on his stomach to one of his wings, and the guy scores off of Brian Elliott. The tremendous play. Now, I'm not an Ovechkin fan, because I think he's a really difficult, arrogant kind of guy, and I don't like the way he plays.
How do you really feel, Bill, about that Russian?
Well, let me put it to you this way.
We know how Russians are generally, Bill.
Well, let's send him to Siberia.
There you go.
And keep him there. I think that Ovechkin should be back playing for Moscow in the Continental Hockey League.
He should follow the Kobe model.
Right.
Kovalchuk.
Exactly.
Go back and play for the Red Army.
He's back in L.A.? Kovalchuk?
Yeah. Back in the NHL.
That's bizarre. It's totally bizarre. Why would he leave the wonderful former Soviet Union for a terrible place like Los Angeles?
Why would
money?
He go back to the Soviet Union when he broke the Devil's contract?
That's right.
That's right.
I don't understand Ilya Kovalchuk. I mean, the last time...
He wanted to play for his country.
Yeah, right. And I guess his country is Los Angeles.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know.
Well, talking about Los Angeles, guys.
He deserved to be paid in rubles instead of dollars if he went to the Kings.
We'll continue this after a couple notes from our sponsors.
Okay.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, we sports are back. Guys, we're back for a few more minutes, and
we're talking about stadiums and turf.
Don't forget, folks, ahead this Saturday night.
Ooh,
well, remember,
lose an hour of sleep.
But you know, there's no reason to lose sleep because the Flyers are going to be playing up on the with the Islanders back in Nassau Coliseum Saturday
that
night.
Sounds like a sleep-inducing event. I agree, Bill.
Could very well be. Remember, the Flyers won last time, 4-1. The Islanders are completely dominated by Philly. Philly's.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, you never know. That's why they play the game. I'm looking forward to this because although the Flyers are 7 points out of a playoff spot, they've been an excellent team since
the problem with that is if you don't make the playoffs and at least get a bang for your buck, you then get very few ping pong balls. You wind up with about a 10th or 12th drafting position. That's the real problem with making a run, which is why at least I give the Devils management some credit. They realized they couldn't really, they weren't competitive, so they got rid of several players, stockpiling picks, losing games. They're probably going to get a top, certainly top five, maybe top three pick.
Well, there are some good people, kids out there for the NHL draft. We don't have time to go over that now, and frankly, I'm not prepared to discuss that. But I can tell you that for the Flyers, they have become one of the youngest teams in the NHL. The real problem that they have is they don't want to be uncompetitive during the best years for Giroux and Voracek, who are their two power forwards. I was disappointed when they traded Wayne Simmonds because I liked watching him play, but he turned 30 or 31. There's really not a lot more upside for him, and he can help a team like Nashville. Who, with between him and PJ Subban and great goaltending, they are a good team.
Built for the playoffs.
Nashville's built for the playoffs, and frankly, they needed a tough guy who could score those dirty goals down deep, near the goalie. So I think Wayne Simmonds is a good addition for them. They gave up somebody who's much younger and who is also a decent forward and who endeared himself to Philadelphia fans. His second shift on the ice, he got into a fight, which is a way to do it in Philly. He also got an assist, but he missed the Gordie Howe hat trick. He did not score a goal until two nights ago.
Well, there seems to be such depth. You would think that NHL hockey would just be great. Because, you know, I never realized that all of the good kids coming out of high school play for a couple years and then go to college.
Yeah. The real problem, I think, Pat, is when the NHL expanded to 30 teams,
it was
it
too
really
much.
Diluted the talent.
It was too big an expansion?
I think so. I think they thought, well, you're now getting being fed from Scandinavia, from Russia, from the
Eastern Europe,
Czech Republic, and so forth, and there'll be enough players. Yeah. And I think it, you know, stands for the proposition that there's only so many good quality players in any sport, regardless of what area you're
but,
joining.
But
from.
Now there's so, I mean, I guess what I would have thought is that everybody's playing hockey now. In other words, it used to be, you know, growing up in the Midwest, people played hockey because they played it, you know, on the lakes and et cetera. And, of course, Canada, there was such a draw from Canada. But now, you know, look at all the East Coast kids who play hockey.
Well,
the Arizona, you know.
Has been a hotbed for hockey for decades.
Right.
Well, remember.
But Massachusetts and certain other places. But now, kids
remember,
in Southern California are playing hockey.
That's right.
Remember, a graduate of Parkland High School in Florida where there was that terrible shooting is now playing defense for the Flyers. Shane Gottesbacher grew up in Florida. And
they're getting exposed
early.
I think that's the difference. Where kids in the Midwest, you started skating when you were young. But I'm not so sure that unless you had a father or an uncle or someone who was really a hockey fan, that it had the universal appeal of either baseball or football. And now I think, along with soccer, I mean, how many kids played soccer?
A lot.
Not,
a lot of, you see a
now
lot of
they
kids.
Do, but when I grew up, you know, come on, unless you were Latin American.
That was
European.
A game that you played, that people in other countries played.
Exactly.
I mean, I remember hearing from elderly family members when they came to the U.S. from Eastern Europe. They didn't want to play soccer. They wanted to learn how to play baseball or football. And they would sometimes find a couple of people who had been in the country 10 years longer to turn them on to it. Because I remember being asked to take one of my grandfather's older friends who had finally emigrated here from someplace else and drive him to watch a minor league baseball game and to explain the game to him.
Well, the same thing with, of course, American football.
Yeah.
But now, who is it in the Hall of Fame who was came out of Michigan, came to Michigan from probably Sweden or Norway, and they got him to be the field goal kicker, went into the NFL. He's
Axel,
one of the very
Axel
few,
something or other.
Few, if only, maybe the only, guy who was there for years. And, of course, that was the one, at least I remember now, coaches recruiting soccer players to come and be the kickers because they could do it.
Soccer-style kicking went into vogue late 60s.
Huh? Pete Gogolak.
That's not who I'm thinking of.
No.
Garo Yepremian. For the Dolphins.
Well, your premium was born in Los Angeles.
The AFC, the AFL adopted the soccer style a lot earlier.
That's
than
true.
The NFL.
The interesting thing though is if you go to watch a sporting event in another country and it's a game you're not familiar with, people are very happy to explain it to you. I went to a hurling match in Ireland, and it was absolutely fascinating.
I'm sorry, but
we had
a lot of hurling matches when I came to Wisconsin, but it was not.
I'm not talking about in a bar, Pat.
It was not exactly. I apologize. I just couldn't help myself.
We're having
there.
Fun here, folks. And you know the best thing about the sports guys is everything we say is important because we're lawyers.
No. And we'll sue you just to prove a point.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how much sports you get from us, but by the way, we're always welcoming guests. We would love to have guests, or we hope to have
somebody
who's doing. Bicycling.
15 minutes of fame. We'll come on the show.
Fame or shame, it's your choice, folks.
But remember,
we're bringing somebody from the Hunterdon County bike community, and we're going to try to get somebody from a bike shop for next week, also, because spring is coming, despite what you see outside.
Well, I thought it was interesting because there is either a week or a day where it's bike to work day or bike to work week, and I'm thinking, I bet. There aren't a whole lot of people in Hunterdon County who could bike.
Behind all of these so-called holidays and celebrations because they want to sell greeting cards.
Well, I think that's exactly the problem here. But you know something?
But I can't imagine many people in Hunterdon County. I mean, you have to be a real bicyclist to, for example, ride up my road.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Well, I will tell you that when I go to Hopewell from where I live by the Clover Hill Church, it's a weekend. There are always bikers on Lindbergh Road or some of those other roads. They're beautiful roads.
But on my road, I mean, the road I live on, we're Round Valley Reservoir, and that's a steep hill.
Yeah.
That's a very popular route for bicyclists who are, coming through Hunterdon County. I mean, we often see, scores of bicyclists every weekend. And, in fact, I met a woman the other day, believe it or not, in Washington, D.C. last week. When I told her where I live, she said, oh, I, bike up that hill all the time. Believe me,
That's a big heartbreak hill.
It truly is. But how not only enthusiastic bicyclists, so I think that'll be great. That'll be a great program.
In every relationship, there's someone that you don't get the attention that you feel like you deserve. So,
mm-hmm.
There's always some sense of forlornment.
Mm-hmm. And
Warren, what are you? What did you draw off of?
For general disappointment in things, I mean, I've worked with people that I've